Hello everyone, The Other Mark here. Don't forget we have got our first ever live podcast on the 29th of June at the Ball Inn in Thorpe Eslet, that is in Rotherham. It's free admission and it starts at 4 p.m.
Ish.
Enjoy the episode.
Evening boys.
Evening Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm The Other Mark. 3 pints Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a dirty banana.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
Evening, Mark. Okay. You all right?
I'm good, mate.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a little bit perturbed, but I'm all right.
Oh, okay. Perturbed?
Yes.
Why? Are you still smelling of vinegar?
Have you seen this new KFC advert?
Oh, yes.
No.
I'm not sure which one.
I'm intrigued.
So I'm just going to try and explain it to you. And I promise you, I'm not on acid.
I reckon we all need to be to understand it.
I don't get it. So it starts off, and I think they're on some sort of an island, this group of people, right?
Okay.
They're carrying a giant egg.
Right.
A massive egg, right?
Yep.
And then a woman walks through, she comes forward from all the other people on this island with a man. She's carrying this man. He's like, almost like he's, I don't know, rigor mortis or setting or whatever. He's all stiff.
Like a mannequin.
Is he small or big?
No, he's a full-sized man, and she's just carrying him horizontally.
Right.
She walks to the water that looks like gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Dips him in it.
Oh,
yeah.
And then when she pulls him out, he's a piece of KFC chicken.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what?
And what happened to the egg?
Exactly.
Is it?
Exactly.
Exactly.
It sounds like an AI advert. You know, we all like merges. I mean,
just,
I've not seen
honestly,
it.
Honestly, it's so like somebody's on a trip and they've gone, I've got a great idea for an advert.
So they're walking
not run it by anybody else. And
they're walking towards the sea of gravy.
So there's like loads of people carrying an egg on an island.
Right.
Then a woman sort of steps forward of all the other people that are on the island,
carrying
a man horizontally. Yeah. Like if you were carrying a plank of wood and two arms, yeah?
Yeah.
Walks forward with this bloke who's just like all stiff laid across her.
Mm.
Goes to the gravy, water, whatever you want to be. Dips him in it and pulls him out and he's a piece of chicken.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I really don't understand what they've... Other than, obviously, I'm talking about it now. What on earth it's supposed to...
Can I give you my opinion on what I think is the angle?
Go on.
And I'm not saying this is fact or anything like that. It's just that I did the same, Mark. I watched it. It was on a couple of weeks ago and I thought, what the hell was all that about?
Yeah.
And is this a TV advert?
A TV advert.
A social media advert?
TV advert. Well, I think it's on social media as well, but TV advert.
Wow.
It's not on radio.
No, but you know what I mean. Some adverts are only on social media.
And I remember thinking to myself, watch it, what the hell was that? And then put it out in my mind. But then I saw it again and again. I think it must have been, like, you know how sometimes they repeat the same set of adverts in a show or whatever. And it did get me thinking about it. And I didn't want to search it, but I wanted to try and figure it out. And I think, well, I've got my opinion on what it is. I think it's something to do with the question of what came first, the chicken or the egg.
I was just thinking, that's the only thing I've currently
And
think
I think,
of.
Obviously, they've got the eggs. It's like a big golden egg, isn't it, that they're like carrying.
Yeah.
But obviously, a chicken couldn't have laid it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because otherwise the chicken would have come first.
Yeah.
So almost as though they're answering the question that the egg came first.
Yeah.
And it's KFC.
Yeah.
As in the gravy.
Yeah.
That created chicken.
Ah.
By dipping men into it.
Look, I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm not saying it's factually correct. I'm saying that's what I think is the thought process behind it.
Man-made.
Either that or it's just... Somebody's gone, right, we're going to do something so out there that people are going to be like, what on earth's all that about? With no meaning to it whatsoever.
Yeah. Well,
almost like when companies go, oh, it's not called Skoda, it's now called Skoda.
Yeah.
Well, some companies do this and it works because we're talking about
it. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, companies, sometimes they do this really out there stuff.
Yeah.
I've stopped eating chicken.
Well, that's just reminding me about something about KFC. This will blow your mind because I forgot to mention it on my Filipino one.
Oh.
Right? So they have KFCs over there, right?
Mm, yeah.
And of course, their menu's slightly different. However,
and chicken's hard.
Their gravy is free. It's basically on a little station.
I suppose it has to be, doesn't it? Because if the chicken is quite dry, like you say, it is.
It's quite tough.
Yeah.
Well, no, the KFC's our chicken, it's soft chicken.
Soft chicken.
It's soft chicken. It's not our chicken.
Soft chicken. Our chicken is soft chicken.
Yeah. So the KFC's soft chicken, it's like we know it, but their gravy, it's completely free.
I could just imagine chickens in Philippines walking around with tattoos.
Yeah.
Well, they do. They honestly are.
Love and hate on the wings.
They look completely different from our chickens.
Our does cluck.
Yeah.
Don't get like him.
We're going to have to split them two up, I tell you.
Terrible. It's rubbing off.
Is the gravy the same?
The gravy is exactly the same, and when they serve you your fries and your chicken, they serve them on little plastic dishes, and there's a little space cut out in the corner for you to put your gravy in, because the gravy is, you don't get the gravy from the
dispenser,
you get it from a little dispenser, a bit like in a McDonald's with tomato sauce.
Not ketchup. But is it not cold?
No, it's hot.
Oh wow!
So it's in a specialised hot thing, and you just pump it into your little thing. And you don't, because I went in going, you know, ordering something and gravy, and they were looking at me going, what are you buying gravy? And obviously they're trying to explain to me in Filipino / English. They're like, no, it's on a pump over there. I'm like, what? It really confused me. I'm like, what, free gravy?
I wonder why it's so different. Why they do things like this in different countries, different ways.
I mean,
and it's not standardised.
I mean, I can understand. I mean, they've got rice. I mean, I understand
they've
that.
Got what, a rash?
They've got rice. You can buy rice. I understand that, because obviously everybody eats rice, you know, and stuff like that. Same with McDonald's, they do.
Can we get rice in our country?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
They do rice boxes, yeah.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay. But they sort of do separate rice. A bit like McDonald's, they do pizza over there in their, you know.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's all... Listen, I've got photo. I need to share some of this stuff. I just wanted to make the point with the gravy.
McDonald's
free.
Do rice with their Happy Meals?
Yes.
And / meals?
Yes.
Do they?
Everybody does rice with everything, because that's all they eat, rice. So rice is everywhere.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you'd have a Big
so maybe
Mac
this
with
KFC
rice.
Advert then, we're filming it Philippines, gravy were free, they overloaded on it and started dipping the boyfriends in it.
Because why not? It's free.
Because why not?
Anyway, on that note, we've had a questioning from one of our listeners.
Oh. That was a good link, that, Mark. Seamless.
Yeah, it's. Well, do you want to carry on talking about KFC?
Absolutely not.
Is it Dave?
No, it's not Dave, our one listener. It's another person now.
So we've got another listener.
Yeah, this is from Sandra.
Oh.
And she says,
what's laughing at?
Well, I know Sandra's our second listener and Dave's our first one, but Sandra's decided to write in. So she says,
Don't laugh at Sandra. Nice.
I know, inappropriate times to laugh. Is there something you wish everybody knew about you without having to tell them? That's what Sandra asks. So is there something you wish everybody knew about you without you having to tell them? So, where should we start?
Rob's normally good at this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think I can think of two.
I think I know what Rob's answer will be. I wish they all knew that I'd got a podcast. Not a podcast. A YouTube channel called The Big Toe.
Yeah.
I know, and they've all subscribed to it.
We all wish that everyone knew that we got a podcast without us having to tell them.
Yeah. Rob's going to say, I wish people knew I was an actor.
Mate, you've just got it.
I
genuinely wish people knew that I was a good actor without me having to persuade them that I am a good actor. That would genuinely be it. Because I've found for years, when obviously I don't have to explain, but I feel like there's always a timeline where people go, so sorry, when did you become an electrician? Well, I was about 27. So what did you do
before
for first 10 years?
Bugger
when you left
all,
school?
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Bugger nothing. All.
You were my boss for part of it.
I was. You still did bugger all.
Well, I did, you're right. It's because I was too busy doing a night shift and then going to film Coronation Street and then coming back
doing
to
a
another
night shift.
Night
and spending most of the time on phone to bloke radio.
And asleep.
Can we see these episodes of Coronation Street somewhere?
You must be able to, but you don't find out what numbers, episodes they are or anything.
You're not.
So, I don't think I've ever seen myself on Coronation Street.
What?
And I think I've
seen me.
How many, roughly, do you think you did? I reckon you might have done more than me.
20.
Oh, you definitely
25.
Did more than me.
I got to a point where I were doing Coronation Street about 3 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I did Emmerdale more than Coronation Street. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I did Coronation Street, Hollyoaks and 2 pints Logan and a packet of crisps.
Me and Mark will just sit this one out while you talk about it.
I did Coronation Street, Emmerdale, The Royal, Heartbeat, Tonight with Trevor McDonald. and a few others.
What was he acting in?
What, Tonight with Trevor McDonald?
Yeah, what were we acting?
I weren't. Do you remember the...
He reenacted, yeah.
Yeah, it was the reenaction. Reenaction?
Reenactment.
Of, do you remember the farmer that had set a gun up in his shed?
Yeah, he died recently, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, he died a couple of weeks ago.
And the boys went into Robbie's shed or whatever, as they opened the door...
Martin, somebody.
Yeah. Well, I played one of them that were breaking into his shed. Anyway.
I once played a part.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I was the arse end of a pantomime donkey.
What were that in?
The Nativity.
So anyway, I get this, obviously there's 10 years where people go, so what did you do then? And I feel like I start explaining that I was an actor, but then I feel like I've played it down a little bit. So then I start having to explain, and, you know, I did this and I did that, and you know, and you're thinking, I'm still not selling this. It sounds like I didn't really do anything for 10 years. And it's...
Kirk said you didn't.
Well, no, I did. I did plenty of stuff, theatre and education and cruise ships and blah, blah, blah. I did some films. But because nothing really came of it, and nothing came of it, yeah. End of.
Well, it's a hard industry. It's a hard industry.
And if no one knows what you've been in or who you are, then you weren't an actor. You just played, you know, you just did something. And that's kind of how it kind of feels, that I literally spent 10 years of my life just not really doing much.
I mean, if any of our listeners do want to see Rob acting in a film, you can actually see him in a film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it the Edgar?
The Last Days of Edgar Harding?
Correct, yeah.
See, I'm with you, mate.
You are, mate.
Yeah.
So it's a film that was it, I actually went with you to watch the premiere of it.
Yes.
In Bradford.
Thought you were going to say Broadway.
And Rob plays a part in The Last Days of Edgar Harding.
Yeah.
He also sings the theme.
Well, it was the theme tune for the trailer, but it was just one of the songs in the film. Yeah.
So if anyone did want to watch our Rob in anything, if you can search. The Last Days of Edgar Harding.
On Amazon Prime.
Yeah. And he is in there.
Yeah, but it's not now.
I think it was free
at one point, and then you had to pay for it.
Oh.
Not quite sure why you pay for it.
I'll have a look.
What I would say is, ignore his hairstyle. It is awful.
My hair was really long.
Awful.
Did you have to have your hair like that, or that's just how you chose to have it?
I was playing a world famous singer called James Madison. And I had to kind of have this grungier look, and obviously I look more like someone from A1 or Blue than I did.
You look a bit fat in it as well, don't you?
Did I?
Well, I've watched it. You do look a bit fat.
I think in one of the pictures in it, I've got my top off and I've got... There's some abs showing. I think I'm quite lean.
I mean your face more than your...
Yeah, maybe.
You're a bit chubby.
I might just put what the lens did. But I absolutely love doing that. There was a guy in it called Daniel Sharman who's done really well now. He's in all sorts of stuff.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, well, you probably haven't because he's not made it that big time. But anyway, yeah. So that would be my thing, is having to almost explain to people that I was an actor.
Well, just wish they just knew.
If I pretty much made it famous enough that they go, oh, you're Rob who used to be on...
Yeah.
Said drama, yeah. Said programme. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny you should say that about you having to explain. When I sometimes, you know, talk to people about my friends, I'll say, oh, yeah, you know, one of my friends, he works for Amazon. And then I always have to explain to them because they go, Amazon.
What's he called?
When I go, he works for Amazon, they go, oh, does he drive a van? And I have to explain to him, or no, he works for Amazon as an electrician, because they just presume when I say my friend works at Amazon, they presume you pack boxes and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess you get that sometimes, don't you?
What do you do? I work for Amazon. All right. Yeah. And then it's...
Because they automatically presume you pack boxes or something. They don't go, oh, you don't go, I work for Amazon. Oh, you must be an electrician. They don't do that, do
no.
they?
No.
So, you know. Something else I'll say about Rob as well that he doesn't ever talk about, and I don't even know whether you two know this.
Oh, is he gay?
Well...
Is that what you...
jury's out.
Go on.
So Rob got through to the final stages of Soap Star Superstar. So it was a little bit like
I think it was just called Soap Stars.
I thought it
was,
yeah.
Can I just interject here? Is that the one that where they were getting a family to go Emmerdale?
Correct. That's right.
Okay.
That's
I didn't watch it, but I sort of know
that's
of it.
That's right. So I went with Rob to the, because it was open auditions, and obviously they were filming it, so a bit like a Britain's Got Talent, X Factor kind of setup, weren't it?
Can I just interject? Yeah. A bit before this.
Right.
So I went and auditioned in Sheffield.
Okay.
And I didn't get through. I didn't even get through the first round. And then Kirk said, oh, I wanted to go and do that Soap Stars. And I went, ah, oh, I went. And you're like, oh, we're going to go to Birmingham. And I went, I'll tell you, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. I'll not audition. I'll just come with you.
Why Birmingham, though?
It were Aston Villa Football Club, where they were holding the auditions.
I wouldn't remember.
So
it was
Sheffield and then the next club.
I remember the Welsh girl the night before.
So there was Sheffield and then the nearest one was then Birmingham.
They did loads.
It was all around the country.
I know, but I'm just wondering why you go, well, I'll go to Birmingham to audition.
I have no idea. Oh, okay. I can't remember. I was 17 years old.
Because listeners are going to go, why is he going to Birmingham when you can just go to Leeds?
I don't think they'll be thinking that.
Well, I did. I
did. All I'm thinking now is what was it the Welsh girl said?
I remembered now.
Yeah. Oh.
What's occurring?
Exactly.
What's happening? Yeah.
Just for the record, I didn't, but there you go. We were staying in a really dodgy B&B, weren't we?
The old
couple. You know, like what you see on like a murder thing where these people stayed at the B&B and was never seen again.
It was scary.
It was very, very much
like
that.
It was scarier than Kirk's stag do. Hotel.
I was just going to say, actually, it sounds like the sort of place I would book.
Yes, very much so.
It was scarier than that.
Very much
really?
So.
Yeah.
And this girl wanted to come and stay, let's say, have a sleepover in mine and Rob's bedroom. And the guy of the B&B wouldn't let her.
Why did he know her?
No, it was beyond a certain point of the time of the B&B. You had to be in your own bedrooms and you weren't allowed to be in other people's bedrooms or whatever.
Okay. It weren't necessarily on the cards, but it was just the fact that he was paroling the corridors, making sure that no one went into anyone's rooms.
He was patrolling them as well. He wasn't letting the corridors off.
Oh, goodness me.
So we went together and, God, we queued for hours. And I mean
hours.
Yeah. And in the queue, you obviously meet other people. Now, I actually used to be all right at acting. I could act.
You were very good.
Yeah, I were. I'd got a history with acting. My passion was acting. Obviously, we were both studying performing arts. Mm. We'd been on stage. I'd performed at the Millennium Dome. I'd performed it. You know, it was something that I wanted to do, to be an actor. We both did. And all the way round on this queue, where we're queuing to go, obviously you speak and get to know the people. And I'd got this set thing that I was going to do, like a monologue. So you go up there, you've only got a few seconds to kind of capture the attention. Thinking about it now in hindsight, they don't care what you said or what you did. They're just looking to see what you look like. Let's face it, that's how it is. However, you don't think that at the time. And I'd got this monologue that I'd absolutely nailed. It was actually a monologue that we'd studied at college, which was to do with an old woman had fallen down in a hallway, and she was stuck. She couldn't get up, and it was a monologue. It's a play, and it's a really good acting scene. You know, it really gives you the chance to show off your acting skills, and that's what I was doing. That's what I was going to do. I'd got it nailed. I'd got it, you know, remembered and stuff. But while we were going around, we started talking to other people, and these people had managed to convince me that my idea was rubbish.
What, the people in the queue?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they managed to convince me that it wasn't enough, that it wasn't, you know, that it would bore them.
Had you shared the monologue with them or just told them what you were
doing? No, they read his mind.
Yeah.
No, but sometimes if I was stood in a queue and somebody said, oh, I'm going to read a monologue, I might be inclined to go, oh, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, did he share that monologue with them?
No. Yes, I did. And everyone was very much like, oh, no, yeah, you're good. You're a really good actor, but that's not what it's about. Okay. You need to try and make them laugh. And they'd convince me. They'd convince me that what I was doing was boring and it just wouldn't work.
Okay.
And I needed to do something different. And I needed to try and make them laugh. And literally, this conversation was happening right up until I was at the bottom of the steps to go up onto the stage, because she like walked up on the stage, the judges were sat there. And I'd let them convince me that the best thing to do, and this is what I did, I went up, stepped on the stage, looked at the judges. So bear in mind, as far as I'm concerned, I am a good actor. I can act. I'm studying performing arts. I've been in shows, productions, been on TV or whatever.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. And my thing was, I'd got a bag with me, because obviously you know, it was like a rucksack. Yeah. And my thing was, oh, yeah, thanks for seeing me. My name's Kirk. And in this bag, I've brought with me something that you will absolutely have to say yes to. There's no two ways about it. Once you've seen what I've got in my rucksack, there's no way you can say no. It's an absolute God-given thing. And I got my rucksack off my bag. Are you ready to see it? Are you ready? Open my rucksack. And they went, oh, I forgot it.
Right. So can I just...
And that was the response.
Wow.
Can I just ask you something?
Yeah.
So that what
you... Did you know you were going to say that?
That what you just came up with, did you come up with that on the spot as you were walking up the stairs?
No, they'd convinced me. The people
they told you what to do.
Convinced me that that's what I should do, that it'd be funny.
You didn't make that clear, that's why I asked you. Sorry. Because they convinced you not to do the monologue,
yep.
But I didn't think they'd came up with another idea. Okay.
Wow. And it was appalling. Obviously, they just looked at me as though I'd got two heads and then went, okay, thank you. And I walked off, and I thought, why did I do that? Why did I do that? I don't understand why I did it.
Was Rob not with you?
Me and Rob had got split up, and I let Rob.
Oh, okay.
But me and Rob had got split up. But Rob went up on stage, did a monologue. I think you did your Blood Brothers one, didn't you?
It went differently to that, I think. I'll explain.
Somebody
in a
convinced
minute.
You to change it.
Oh, anyway.
It was something different.
We got split up and this and other. So Rob got through. And obviously I didn't. But then Rob did make his way right through to the final stages.
Really? Mm. We on TV and stuff?
Yeah. So mine was quite a weird story, to be fair. So we were in the queue. Bear in mind, I'd gone to support Kirk. I wasn't actually going to audition. I'd already auditioned in Sheffield and didn't get through. So we were in this queue, queuing with Kirk, and I was just there for company. And we'd been in the queue for hours. And all of a sudden, I turned round, and there was a girl stood behind us, and I'm thinking, I recognise you. And she kind of glanced at me, and her head kind of tilted. You know when someone's almost recognises you, but you're thinking, I don't really know who this person is. And then it dawned on me, her name was Jade, and we were from Little Mix. We met each other at a holiday park when we were about 13. Bear in mind, how old are we? 17, 18 now at this point.
Yeah.
So 5 years on, we'd not seen each other since then, but we kind of, you know, you're that age, they were a bit flirty. I think we kind of got a bit of a thing. And I
pen pals.
thinking about how bad I am with names. And I just looked, and she kind of looked both at the same time. I went, Jade. And she went, Rob. And literally, right next to us, railings, and they got like roaming cameras going around interviewing people. They just heard, they heard it. They heard me go, Jade, Rob. And we were like,
they swooped in.
No way. And all of a sudden, the cameras just came flying in on us. And they filmed the entire thing of us going, What are you doing here? Oh my gosh, this is mental. So we had this conversation that's when we got separated.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much pulled me straight out of the crowd. Yeah. They pulled her out of this lineup and then wanted to know all the story. So then we didn't realise at the time, but they geared it so that we ended up going in at the same time. Before we went in, they gave us a script and we ended up doing the male and female version of a script from Emmerdale. So we got a massive heads up above anybody else because we were being given a script from Emmerdale. Everyone else is going and doing their own thing. And we did this thing and we both got through that round. No surprise. So made great TV. So that we had to go back the next day and that's when you'd not got through and you said, I'm going to have to go home. I don't know if you were working or something. Yeah. So you ended up going home.
Probably.
I then had nowhere to go because I'd only gone to support Kirk. So Jade was with some of her friends, said, it's fine. Bear in mind, we were only 17. She said, it's fine. You can come and stay at my mum and dad's. So she rang her mum and dad and went, do you remember Rob when we were younger? He's here. Can he stay? So I ended up going back to theirs. But on the way back to theirs, the film company's ringing us saying, can you slow down? We're going to get there before you get there to film you arriving. So we gets back there, and it was just so surreal. I mean, obviously, it were a mum and dad's house. It weren't like there weren't anything naughty going on at all. I stayed in a brother's bedroom. The next day, we then went to the next round of auditions, and she didn't get through that next round, but I did.
And then you weren't invited back to her house.
Yeah, no.
Rob moved in for a month.
Yeah. She did get through. It was the, and then we went to London. A few weeks later. We went to London, and the first round of London, she didn't get any further, and I did. And it ended up getting all the way to the point where it wasn't the final 10, it was just before the final 10. And I got pulled
final
into...
Final 11?
No, I can't remember. There wasn't that many of us left. I think there was three of each character they're looking for. And I got pulled into a room, and they basically said the producers have been in today watching what's going on, and they think, unfortunately, you look too much like Andy Fletcher, who is played by...
That is his real name.
Sorry, that's his real name.
I don't know whether it's Andy's first name. It's
Kelvin.
Kelvin, thank you.
Look too much like Kelvin Fletcher, who was Andy Sugden.
Yeah.
And they said, so unfortunately, they're not going to be able to cast you, so there's no point you going any further. And they literally said, do you want to either walk, go now, and almost going out the back door, or do you want to go on and be seen to go out of the programme? I was like, I'll go out. I'll just go out of the programme like normal. So I joined everyone else and just had to get cast out like I didn't make it. And yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what happened to the Emmerdale family, don't you?
Because it didn't last very long.
Because it were a big backlash to it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Remember?
Was there?
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why they were written out eventually. I think they only went for a year. I think they lasted on the set.
The contract was a year, weren't it?
Yeah.
The contract was a year, so it probably was a year.
I felt like one of the actors lasted longer, but I think it was something to do with the other actors of Emmerdale not thinking
that
it was fair.
Equity, that were the problem. It was all, because at the time, obviously, you needed to be in equity, didn't you?
Yeah.
And they weren't. But of course, they were because they weren't. And the actors at the time. I mean, I know things have moved on since then. Mm. It's a bit more fluid. But back then, there were a lot of backlash about why are these normal people, just coming off the street?
Because I'd not even got my equity card at that point.
And of course, they didn't like the fact that these people off the streets were just coming straight in when all these other actors had gone through. You know,
pantomimes.
But you know, I mean, I'm not talking from an actor's point of view. I just remember reading it in news about it, and they were all, you know, because I think I watched a TV program, a documentary about it, and they got some of the actors saying, you know, we felt we weren't treated very well on set because they would shun them, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They said the year they did, they didn't like it because they weren't treated very well by the other actors and stuff. So,
it's
water under the bridge now. Obviously, things have moved on.
Me and Rob went to another. Just while we're talking about it, I may as well cover this. Me and Rob did go to another audition. Went to a Hollyoaks audition, an open audition.
What race course was that at?
Oh.
Not. It wasn't York. It was much further away.
We got a train. I remember we getting a train because we actually wrote a song on that train.
Yeah.
And
10 miles from anywhere.
10 miles from anywhere. Very much. Can you remember any of it?
Why are we 10 miles from anywhere?
Is this the follow-up to 500 Miles by the Proclaimers?
It's actually because there's a story behind it. We met someone on the train and we were talking about where we were from. We were a stranger on train. And we asked him where he was from and he said, Thurnscoe. And both me and Rob was like, where's Thurnscoe? And he was like, it's 10 miles from Doncaster, 10 miles from Barnsley, 10 miles from Rotherham. So we were like, oh, 10 miles from anywhere then. And then...
That's where the song came from. Yeah. You do know where Thurnscoe is now, don't you?
Yes, 10 miles from anywhere. we ended up getting in this queue for Hollyoaks. And it was...
That was even longer, that.
It was absolutely insane. And we went through every kind of weather you could think of. It was peeing down with rain and then burning hot sunshine and the wind was blowing and then burning hot sunshine. It was mental.
No snow.
We'd been in this queue.
Right on queue. Right on queue.
So there were no snow?
Yes, there was snow.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and a bit of hail and a bit of frost.
Thunder.
How many other lists? Thunder.
Yeah. Christmas.
He said weather, not seasons.
And we'd been in this queue for about 7 hours. 7 hours, 8 hours maybe. It was in Cheshire, wherever it's filmed.
Yeah, Cheshire.
Cheshire.
Chester.
Anyway, wherever it's filmed.
Right next to Liverpool.
And we were there, and after about Cheshire. 8 hours, bear in mind we were stood there, Rob turned around to me and went, right, I've got to go.
What?
What are you going to go for?
I was in a show. Yeah. I was in The Wiz at the theatre in Rotherham, and there were Neil was with us.
Yeah.
And both Neil played the Tin Man, and I played the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a joke. It weren't. And we got to go.
Left me on my own.
So we're literally like, we've queued for 8 hours, and because we'd not got, this queue just didn't seem to move at all, did it? There were tens of thousands of people there.
Wow.
And so we just left the queue, got back on the train and came home for a performance. Kirk stayed. Go on.
I stayed. Literally, it ended up being about 14 hours before I got to the front. So bear in mind, we're outside. We've listed all the weathers that I was in. All right.
Yeah.
And then
I'm happy.
I got to the front, and there were like a
Easter.
There was a producer there, and they went, right, look your best.
14 hours
after 14 hours of queuing.
Right. And said, what do we need to do? Just go up on stage, say your name, say your age, say where you're from. Okay? Go up on stage. Hi, my name's Kirk. I don't know how old I was, 17 or whatever. Yeah. I'm from Rotherham. Right, thank you. That was it.
That were it.
You either got a yellow slip to say that you was through, or a pink slip to say you weren't, or something like that. And that was it. That was it.
What?
14 hours of queuing to stand on stage and say my name, where I was from, to then get told.
What baffles me with that, right, is that obviously I completely believe you when you say you were 14 hours, but if that's all they're doing, people walking on stage and going, my name's Mark, I'm 17, from Sheffield, thanks, walking off. Why did it take them so long to get through
the
that?
The amount of people. I mean, literally, they put adverts out there in the national press and stuff like that of open auditions for Hollyoaks. And that was it.
Well, it seems... crikey.
That was it. There you go. Sorry, that was a bit self-indulgent of it, weren't it, Rob? But I just thought...
Why not?
Took the opportunity.
Is
there something you wish of?
Is there something you wish everybody knew about you without you having to tell them?
What about you, other Mark?
And that's from Sandra.
You've had long enough to think about it.
I know.
You fell asleep while you were.
Cheeky
bugger. Right, Mark, have you got one?
Yeah, I mean, it's job related, really. It's about what I do. Because
what do you do?
Well, I don't know. That's my problem, you see. Well, obviously, I tell people I'm a DJ, and then similar to the sort of when you said to people I work Amazon, I know they know what a DJ is, but they just roll their eyes and sort of go. I mean, you probably get this a little bit more, don't you? You don't say you're a DJ, you say you're a civil engineer, don't you? But you know what I'm saying?
Civil engineer? Where did that come from?
Something to do with engineering, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you do?
He's a bricklayer.
Do you work for Amazon? What do you do?
I work for Amazon.
When I say I'm a DJ, they just roll their eyes at you. And because I'd like to think that I'm quite a modest person. I don't big myself up much. I tend to be more...
like me and Kirk, I'm just
exactly. I'm quite... You know, I think me and Mark are more reserved. Although when Mark's had a drink, he's probably not. But, you know, we tend to be more laid back and stuff. And so I just say, oh, I'm a DJ. And they go, oh, okay. And I leave it at that generally. So I wish sometimes... people understood what I do without me having to explain it to them, because sometimes I do elaborate a little bit more and go, oh well, I DJ in hotels and I have contracts with hotels and, you know, I supply DJs and you know, and things like that, and but I don't really like telling them that, but I wish they did know. Because
fundamentally, you own your own business.
You have a
DJ business.
How do you get a
t-shirt
printed that says I'm a DJ and I supply hotels with DJs? I don't like talking about it.
Well, I sort of do, but I don't, if you know what I mean. I don't really like talking about it. I mean, it's like when I went to the Philippines, they asked me. When I went to Philippines, you know, I mean, I know they're more family oriented, so they asked me, but most of the time I didn't really talk
Have
about it.
Have you ever heard of Agadoo? You know.
Well, that reminds me of something about it. That's, I've just thought of something else about Philippines. I'll come back to that. But another thing that... Another thing that... I guess it don't fit in with the question, but it does a little bit.
You can't just start answering different questions.
But it sort of does.
I'm 5'10", 13 stone.
I always find...
Oh, but you didn't ask that, did you?
Well, I always find when I'm on these podcasts, I seem to ramble on about loads of rubbish.
Shit, Sherlock.
And that's why we keep inviting you back.
I just do ramble, don't I? Sometimes I think, particularly with clients, I'm talking about clients at hotels, like particularly brides and grooms and things like that, where they want a bit more, you speak to them and they talk about the music and stuff. Before the event, you know, they want to know a bit about you. But like with clients at hotels particularly, is that obviously all this equipment that I have in the hotels, they all presume that it's all the hotels. Yeah. You know, the TVs, the projectors, the speakers, the lights. It's a full... I mean, you guys have seen what I do. Yep. And they always think it's always belongs to the hotel. They don't think it's mine.
How dare they?
You know, and again, it's not that I don't want to go shouting about it, but they just presume it's theirs. And I'm just a random DJ they've got in to fill that their function, if you like. And next week it'll be Dave Doubledecks, you know, that's DJing. And, you know, week after it'll be somebody else, you know, and they're using the hotel's equipment, you know what I mean? And then, of course, even if you sort of convince them or talk to them about it, it's my gear, they'll go, wow, because they're not interested. But then you then don't want to sort of say to them, well, next door's all my equipment, and you know, this hotel's that's all my equipment, this hotel's that's my equipment.
I'm not Dave Doubledicks, you know. All these speakers are mine,
you know. But again,
good evening, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this posh hotel. Sandra and Dave are getting married. Those speakers, they're mine. The lights, also mine. That room there, yep, mine. That DJ works for me. Yeah. Well,
you've hit the nail on the head. But that's exactly right. I mean, you know.
I do get what you mean.
And if you go to the Philippines, you get free gravy.
but you know what I'm saying? I don't do that.
It's something that you're proud of.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you've achieved over your life and built this business from nothing to what it is now, which is, end of the day, a successful business, but yet you have no outlet for anyone to understand or realise it.
And I also, I know you're joking, that's fine, but I also understand that people don't really care if that equipment's mine or not. They don't care. That's hence why I don't tell them that.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. It's like when something like DJs going, oh yeah, I've got a 2,000-watt system and, you know, and 6,000... Clients aren't bothered. What? You know.
6,000-watt.
You know, see, they're not, are they?
No.
You know, it's
no.
When you see advertisements, you know, I've got a 2,000-watt sound system. Clients are not interested in that. I've never advertised that, but you do see adverts from DJs like that, don't you? I'm sure you've seen them.
Do you drive down, when you drive down the street in your car, you wind your windows down? I didn't make this car! I'm just driving it! But this is mine!
It's not mine, actually.
It's
not mine, I lease
and
it.
I still didn't make it. I lease this. Yeah, I lease those speakers are mine.
But yeah, does that fit the question?
Yes. Yeah, it does, yeah.
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 But it is something I'm proud of, but I don't ever share with anyone because nobody cares.
No. Good. Kirk.
Sorry.
What would you say, Kirk?
Oh, what question again?
Anyway,
do I own speakers?
Back to me. Do you not care, you guys? You just
no.
No.
Is there something you wish everybody knew about you, but without having to tell them?
I feel as the probably best answer I can give to the question is my family situation. So obviously I have three children. The three children I have are with my ex, and they live with a mum. I'm married, but obviously we all get on really really well. It's a big family unit that is brilliant, and it's brilliant for the kids. The kids don't see any difference. Everything. The kids were very young when me and the mum split up. There's no bad feeling there. Everything's great. Mm. So therefore, we operate as one family. But I always find myself having to explain the situation.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So like, if somebody says, oh, so they're you, your wife, and they're your kids. And it's like, well, they are our kids, but their mum is the mum. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. And then it's like, you know, because Daisy sees the kids as her kids. Do you know what I mean? Maybe not biologically, but she's been in their life since they were practically born, you know. And then obviously Kylie's their mum, you know. And so I'd never dream of telling people that Daisy is the kid's mum, because that's not fair on Kylie. Do you get what I mean? But, you know, like when we all went on holiday together last year, do you know what I mean? That as far as I'm concerned, that is normal for us. We're doing it. We all get on. We all wanted to go away with the kids. We went away with the kids.
And people were asking Kirk if you were a single dad with five kids.
I did get that once in London where they thought Kylie was my daughter. And, you know, but all this thing of, like, even when we're away in Turkey and people are like, oh, so mum, wife, but two wives? No.
Two wives?
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's because it's just so uncommon.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be. But
no, I agree.
At end of the day, whether it's common or not, I sometimes feel as though if I want to tell a very quick story about something, about the family, that I almost feel as though I've then got to go back and tell the whole lead up to why. So it would be just easier for me if everyone just
knew.
Yeah. Without me having to explain to... You know, to people that didn't.
Or you could also get a T-shirt printed.
Yeah.
That is complicated. No, go away.
I've got another one.
Are you going to get these T-shirts printed from me and Kirk? Oh, okay.
I've got another one in that I wish people would understand that when I get passionate about something, I do get louder. I speak quicker and I get louder. And people sometimes mistake that as me getting angry. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting angry. I'm just passionate. I mean, maybe it's just Gemma, but she's like, Rob, why are you shouting? Why are you shouting? I'm not shouting. No, you are shouting. No, I'm not shouting. Before long, I am shouting. I'm not shouting. I'm just passionate about the situation.
Really? I don't think. Yeah, but I've never. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but but I've never thought that. Oh,
I mean, maybe it's because you know me.
I know you, and I know when you get passionate.
Well,
so.
People at work have on the occasion gone, Rob, you don't need to shout. And
really?
I'm like, no. And then you try, and then you're like, go quieter and slower, but to explain, no. It's
you
okay.
Should also get a T-shirt printer.
What should mine say?
Yours should say something like, "Earring protection is highly recommended."
When passionate.
When passionate.
When passionate.
Oh, yeah.
So what about you, other Mark? Have you got nothing?
Yeah. I don't know.
What about a question that you don't like being asked?
Is it, you drunk? When people ask you that.
Just opening an old new can of worms there.
Do people say that to you? Are you drunk?
No.
No, because they already know the answer.
Oh, here we go again. A question that I want people to know the answer to.
Well, that was the first one. Kurt just made it a bit easier.
Or a question you don't like being asked.
Or a question I don't like being asked. I don't know, really.
You must have one. I got one straight away as soon as you said that. Not for you, for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
I can say one. You literally said it earlier. Which, by the way, I don't mind you saying it because you were just joking. And it doesn't actually bother me, but a question that I get asked, I think, oh, here we go again. I suppose it would...
Amazon job thing?
No, it was a joke you made at my expense. And it would answer both questions, but it's, are you gay? Honestly.
Well, I only said that in the jokey way.
I couldn't care less. And that's almost contradictory to what the question was, because I couldn't actually care. But you know, you're just bored of answering the question at 41 years old. Yes, I know I'm a bit camp. Yeah. A lot camp. You know, but I get it a lot. Are you bisexual? Are you gay?
Does it bother you more if people say it to you in a, like, a serious way or in a... Or in a joking way.
To be fair, I don't think it matters how they ask the question.
Because I think it'd bother me. Because if they said it in a jokey way, I'd be like, oh, it's just... But if they said it in a serious way, I was like, oh, are you gay? And you'd go, no. And they'd go, oh.
I think I'd probably take, not an offence, but I'd answer it more seriously if they kind of... It was more of an insinuation of, are you gay? I'd be like, no, I'm not.
But, you know, when they normally...
Like a negative lie, almost like an accusation.
Yes. Yeah. Then I'd become a little bit more defensive by it. But normally, people don't do that. And they're almost inquisitively asking, oh, are you? Almost like...
Do you think, though, that there might be an element of it because you have... I mean, not so much now, Rob, in all fairness. We take the mick or whatever, but, you know, you was a lot more feminine when you were younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you as a dancer and aerobics.
Yeah.
You know, and you was a bit camp. And then your mum was gay.
Yeah. That was definitely a thing at school.
Yeah. So do you think that's where sometimes people can wrongly, by the way, just apply all them things to you and then insinuate?
Absolutely. And yeah. I think that's what happened at school. That definitely happened back then. But as I've got older, I think it is just a general comment because I still have, you know, ways about me. I don't think I walk camp. I think someone said to me not that long ago, you've got a bit of a mince going on there, Rob.
Oh, that's just your catwalk, bro. Catwalk, maybe.
Catwalk. So, yeah, it's just a question that you just think, oh, gosh, I've got to answer this again. But no. Mm. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Answered another question for you there, Mark.
Has Mark thought of something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I really can't think.
I was going to say something about Philippines, weren't I?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the only thing...
Have you ever been?
I've been once. I don't know if I'm going back again.
Are you banned?
No. Well, no. So, over there, why did I say we're going to mention Philippines? Something to do with music, weren't it?
Yeah, Black Lace we're talking about.
Oh, that's it, with music. For some reason over there, they don't... Do you know, like, some countries are, like, behind with times and stuff. You look at Philippines, you go, they're sort of like where Britain were in 1940s.
Like Australia.
Why is Australia behind?
I think they're. Oh. Their fashion sense is... Yeah.
Well, I was going to say about music, because, like, everywhere I went, you know, shopping malls, shops, in taxis, all they played were 80s music. And I was like, are they stuck in times or something? And then, like, I said to a few people, Coldplay, no idea who they are. You know, and like, Lady Gaga, who's she? I'm like, it was just so surreal. Mm. That you get in a taxi, they've got 80s music on. You're like, what's going off here? I don't know. I know it's a bit weird.
In all fairness, mate, that was the same as when we went to Malta and watched Take That. And it were almost like, oh, we're taxi driving, and they go, oh, who are you going to watch? Take That.
Who are they?
Who are they?
Yeah, really?
Take That. You don't know. Robbie Williams? Mm. No.
No.
You're like, yeah, wow, it's weird, isn't it? These people, we assume that they're world famous.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Exactly.
They are.
Yeah. They are, but they're not. Yeah. Just not necessarily in Elvis, Michael Jackson kind of realms and league. But yes, they are world famous.
Fair enough.
Just, speaking of music before we go, is it into Eurovision soon?
It is actually, yeah.
When is it?
Is it beginning of May?
Am I coming round to yours again?
Absolutely you are.
You two are invited probably, but you won't come, so...
Correct.
Well, it's not that I won't come, I'll be working. I'll be doing a Eurovision style night.
Have you got a date booked on that date already?
I don't know. We haven't checked.
He's washing his hair.
Because we don't know what date it is. You just think it's May time sometimes.
And if I tell you what the date is and you haven't got a gig, would you book it out to come and watch?
Would I book a disco out to come to watch it?
Would you book it off?
What, lose money?
Book it off.
Hello? No, I can't put like a holiday day in, can I? I don't get holiday pay.
Well, you absolutely can. You just say, I'm not working like that. I'm busy.
To the venue?
To everyone.
Where do I get my money from?
Well, get someone else to DJ. You earn money off them DJing, don't you?
Yeah, about a tenner.
All right.
That's it.
You need to up your prices, mate. Jumping hell.
Exactly. Oh. So today's episode, it's Good Friday today, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. Good Friday.
Oh, happy Good Friday.
I always get confused when it comes to Easter. Is it today that he died or today that he came back or...
Came back.
You are definitely asking the wrong person.
So what's Easter Monday then?
He came back again.
That's when you're good at pubbing it.
I know. Didn't he die? Didn't they put him on the crucifix on the Friday? I don't know what it's called. Good, by the way.
On Easter Sunday.
And then he rose on the Easter Sunday.
Why is it Good Friday then?
I've just said that, but I don't know.
What day they call it Bad Friday, shouldn't they?
What day did they put him in the cave with the big stone?
I thought that was Good Friday. I thought that was the day he died.
All right. So he was on the cross.
I've never heard this story.
Right. Well,
it's in a book called the Bible.
Yeah. I've never read it.
He was on the cross for some days.
They dipped him in some gravy.
What?
And he came out a piece of chicken.
Free gravy.
Free gravy.
I'm being serious here. I don't know about this rock.
Anyway, he died on the cross.
Where do you think they put him once he died on the rock, on the cross?
No, he just stayed there, didn't he?
No. What, and then came forever. Back to life on the cross, pulled the nails out of his own hands and his feet.
They took him
down. I don't really know, to be fair.
They took him down from the cross and they put him in a cave.
Tomb.
And put a big boulder in front of it.
Really?
And then,
I honestly don't know that.
I don't even know how I know. And then on Easter Monday,
Easter Sunday. Went to pub on Monday.
They found then that the boulder had been moved and Jesus was no longer there.
Oh.
Yeah. Thieves had been at it again, haven't they?
Maybe I'd learned that at school, but I've just forgot, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. I remembered the cross bit.
You were at school before it happened.
Yeah, in AD times.
Anyway, shall we spin the wheel?
Yeah,
shall
let's spin it. Fun.
Oh, here we go. Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Oh. Come on. He's nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
So nothing from last week. So Rob's over near the wheel. So do you want to give it a spin?
Absolutely. Are we ready?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Give it a spin.
Oh.
What's it going to be? What is it?
Oh. Hey.
The song is it anyway.
Hey. It's been a while since you've got that kazoo out.
Shall I tell you what we do? So I'm going to play a kazoo, I'm going to play a song, and you've got to try and guess who it is.
I'm ready.
And what it is.
I'm absolutely ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Right. I just need to remember now what the song was. You ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
3 blind mice. Okay. Are we getting different?
Is that 3 different songs you've got?
Is that 3 different versions?
Is one a remix?
Are you changing your mind?
No, I'm trying to think of the next bit before I play it.
Can you do it all
can
together?
Can you play one bit first?
Yeah, I just have.
Can you put them all together?
It helps if you know the song.
I know. You know when you can hear it in your head, but you can't get it out of your mouth. Right, I'm going to go straight in with the hook. You'll just get there straight away.
All right,
okay. All right, okay. I think it was great, right? You genuinely believe in your head, genuinely believe in your head that what you've just played is so completely obvious that we were all going to sit there and go, yep, we know it.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue. No.
That's the intro.
What?
That's the intro. And then
no, we stop.
Cut to the hook. Again.
Again.
Yeah.
I thought it was just to throw you off.
Oh, focus, we need to throw it off.
We need to throw it off.
Leave that one with us.
I've not done this for a while, have I?
No.
No. Well, you know what I said to you earlier? Do ones that we might know. You may, oh, it's too, you'll get them too quick. Yeah, that's what you need to do, because we're never gonna
just
get
a few words of wisdom from Mark there.
I forgot how it goes.
Leave that with me. I'll see if I can work.
Can I Shazam this?
No,
I won't bother.
That ain't gonna know, is it?
12 days of Christmas.
Right, well,
boys, okay.
We'll have a think about that for next week.
Good luck.
Oh, boys, actually, before we go, I've got one question for you.
Oh, yes.
Each. Okay. All right.
This isn't going to drag this episode on another half an hour, is it?
No. Well, it might do, because I might get to Mark and say, and they might go, oh, I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Mate, you don't mean media.
I just think it's a name in the name, you know. So I'll come to you first, Rob, because you'll have an answer. If you was to be on Mastermind.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What would be your specialist subject?
Filmmaking.
Filmmaking.
Yes.
Okay. Other Mark.
I don't know.
We knew that would come in.
Yeah. Questions.
About anything.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Surely it's something to do with music.
Yeah, gotta be.
Music? What, just music?
That's very general.
I'm going to say.
Music, but not classical. Wait, or opera.
What about like Oasis or something? Like
oh, yeah.
Their albums and the tracks, or even indie music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
There you go, go with that one. Indie music.
Oasis. All right, Mark?
Well, I'd say the obvious, music, but again, that's too general, so yeah. I could... But so I'd probably make up for some like, I don't know... Disney, theme parks, Universal, ooh, rides, attractions, maps.
Pick,
you know,
one.
Well,
it's a specialist subject. Disney.
Okay, Disney.
But theme parks.
Well, I'd say Disney as in the company, even.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
What I'd be for, hard, Kirk? It'd be hard, but...
Say again?
What for?
What about you?
Oh. You'll see.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
See you, boys.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.